As the country continues to debate the need for constitutional recognition for Indigenous Australians, the push for a treaty is gaining traction. There's a concerted effort among the grassroots ranks of the Australian Labor Party to promote the issue. Zach Wone is one of the members involved in the process. Zach, can we begin with how the movement Labor for a Treaty came about?
As you mentioned, there is that growing momentum. It's really for me, it's seeing what came out of Victoria last year. That's when I really started to get excited and see that this was a possibility, that for the first time since 1988, that we could actually make treaty a reality and that the Labor Party was leading it.
Do you feel like there's a lot of interest in the issue amongst the rank and file of the Labor Party?
So far, I guess I should tell a little bit of the story of how Labor for Treaty came about. It just came out of an idea that, I was talking about with a few of my friends in Young Labor, seeing what came out of Victoria and wanting to really build on that momentum and really take advantage of it. And I guess it really started with just saying, okay, well, how do we actually make this happen? So there's been a bit of a trend recently towards Labor Action Committees. So there's groups like the Labor Environmental Action Network, which has really been pushing hard on climate change as an issue. And then you've got Labor for Refugees, other groups around there, Rainbow Labor. So, really following that model. So we looked into how to make that happen. So you need 30 rank and file members to sign up. We got that in no time. People are really keen to be involved, particularly Young Labor people. And then we needed a state patron and a federal parliamentary patron. So for state, I emailed Linda Voltz, and we met her at our parliament and at her office, and she was only too happy to come on board. From then, I emailed Malandira McCarthy up in Northern Territory, and we ended up going to Canberra, and I'll never forget, when we got her on board, and she was just so supportive of what we're doing, and it's really just grown from there.
So who has been the primary people to take up involvement with this? You've mentioned it's been something that Young Labor members have been interested in. Is it an issue that younger people are more interested in, or have you got interest from across the board?
Really across the board, yeah. I've been really pleasantly surprised just how much support we've gotten from young and old, from left and right, and we haven't really encountered any opposition.
I was going to ask you if there'd been any pushback to it.
No, not so far, so... Yeah, it's been really encouraging, and we just kind of go along as we go. And it's something I've been very passionate about, and it would mean a lot to me to actually see the Labor Party really like to actually get this on the party platform at both the state and the national level. So that's the next goal, is actually moving motions at the state conferences and eventually the national conference next year.
The issue that's had bipartisan support at the national level has, of course, been constitutional recognition. How do you see that fitting in with your aspirations for a treaty?
There's definitely been that debate, and I'd say, like, there's all different viewpoints out in the community on that, and we've seen from the forums that are being conducted this year, there's been a very kind of healthy debate around it. Labor for Treaty, we're really about advocating for treaty, and we're creating the space for that. Our position as an organisation is that, it's not necessarily in conflict, like they're not mutually exclusive, but, we've got different views within the organisation, but we're really trying to push the treaty discussion.
So, Zach, why do you think that a treaty is the answer to resolving the issues that face Indigenous Australia?
Well, I suppose looking at international examples, from our brothers and sisters in Aotearoa, New Zealand, Turtle Island, in North America and Canada, and I've known personally activists, First Nations activists from those countries, and they'll tell you it's not everything, but it's something that you can build on. It's a foundation. It sets out a kind of a basis of an agreement of how we actually move forward, and an acknowledgement that that First Nations people are still here and will always be here, and how do we actually create the healthiest possible relationship going forward between Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities.
Polling generally about the mood of the electorate shows that there's quite a lot of cynicism about the big parties, and from young people in particular, about organised political parties. Why do you think the Labor Party is the vehicle to achieve putting a treaty on the national agenda?
Well, if you look at all the major significant changes that have actually become policy in Australia, it's been led by the Labor Party in a two-party system, and we are the party of progress and equality, and those are our stated values. So working through the Labor Party, if you can build those alliances and build that power within the party, it's like, Gough Whitlam said, you have first you get the party on board and then the country. I've always just subscribed to that.
Who are your political heroes?
Well, Gough Whitlam's definitely one of them. Obviously, he was before my time, but just learning the history of what he was able to achieve and, for all different groups, people who'd previously been marginalised and ignored, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, women, young people, migrants. For me, he really represents what a great Australian political leader should be, about being inclusive and actually fighting for what's right. He had a vision. He had a vision for the country with the program, and that he set out and he communicated it. And then when he got into power, he began implementing it.
I think you're right in that a lot of people are more inspired by politicians who can sell a vision. If you had Bill Shorten on the phone, what would your advice be to him about some policy issues that he should pursue?
Treaty now.
Treaty would be the first.
Yeah, treaty would have to be a main one. Definitely addressing climate change is going to be a key issue. And like you also see, young people, we really like it because we're going to be living in the future. It's really matters to us that, and particularly looking at the impact it's having on First Nations communities as well as Pacific Island communities, that's something that really needs to be addressed seriously.
Do you think having Indigenous members of Parliament has made a difference? There was some scepticism early on about whether just having individual people there would make a difference, but obviously we've got quite a few there now. And what's your impression of what sort of an impact it's had having Indigenous members of Parliament?
Yeah, well, it's been really important. It's been key, really. We have Mal Indira as our federal parliamentary patron, and we've started making connections with other members of the Indigenous parliamentary caucus as well. And to have those people who are actually inside who can really support what we're doing, our mob on the inside, who actually understand the issues at a personal level and at a community level is just invaluable.
I just want to ask you about your involvement with the Maritime Union of Australia, because it has such a long tradition of supporting some of our Aboriginal activists. Have you still found that to be the case?
Yeah, completely. So we've just had the second monthly meeting of the MUA Sydney Branch Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Committee. And we've just recently started setting, what the priorities and direction we want for the organisation to be. And really the leadership of the Maritime Union, it couldn't be more supportive. They're really passionate about supporting First Nations communities. And you've seen that even going back to the 60s and, the days of the Gurindji and the Walk-Off, when the Seamen's Union, the predecessor of the MUA and the Waterside Workers Federation, were one of the key players, some of the key players in that that struggle. And going on from there, you have activists like Kevin Cook, who was, a BLF organiser, also very active with the, the Wharfies as well, who were really driving a lot of the exciting changes that were coming out of Redfern. So those are he would be another one of my political heroes that I'd look up to. So I'm really proud to be, coming into that story, that legacy, and we really want to build on that and see what we can do moving into the future to really keep that legacy going.
Do you have aspirations to run as a candidate into Parliament yourself?
You can never say never. Like, I would never have known I'd be working on the wharves if you asked me a year ago. So you never know where you're going to end up, really. So I just follow my passions and, for me, it's all about more the purpose and position, I believe, leadership. It's about actually, what you do. It's not what your title is.
And if people are listening and want to find out more about how they can support the treaty process and what's going on, how can they do that?
You can come along to our New South Wales launch, which is going to be at the Trades Hall Auditorium on May 12, starting at 6 o'clock. We've also got a Facebook page. If you type in Labor for Treaty, you'll see it come up on your Facebook, which is another way to stay involved. And, we're also planning eventually launches around the country. So, keep posted for that.
And watch this space. Well, yeah. Zach Wine, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
All right. Thank you.
Zach Wine, member of the MUA and the grassroots movement Labour for a Treaty.